invite you to be seated. So I'll start off by admitting that this homily was a little bit more difficult for me to prepare than normal. First, as you're going to hear several times coming up, I've been in a bit of a funk lately. And when we're off our game mentally and emotionally, it's difficult to connect with God spiritually. But I decided to just press into it and to be honest about it, so here we are. The second difficulty is that I was feeling a sense of inadequacy, that I've been getting up here again and again and rehashing and repeating the same old things I tell you every time that I preach. I was feeling like I needed to give you something deeper, like my preaching up until now has been shallow. I was feeling like I needed to give you something new and surprising. And it wasn't until I was done writing this entire homily and had printed it out and it was in hand that I felt peace about not being novel at all. I was reminded of this fantastic quote, a long one, so bear with me, from G.K. Chesterton. He said, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again.' And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead." It's true. For grown-up people, we're not strong enough to exult in monotony, but perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It's possible that God says every morning, "Do it again," to the sun, and every evening, "Do it again," to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. So I'm going to lean into the monotony, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to tell you how much God loves you, how much he wants to give you good gifts. And I feel like if that's all I ever do when I'm up here, that's okay. Because God has been relentlessly telling me these same things over and over again for decades now. And sometimes hearing the same thing repeated can awaken something inside of us. We can begin to believe it. And I desperately want all of you to believe these very simple and yet unimaginably profound things about God. So if you happen to have any sermon bingo cards available, get them ready. Let's check some stuff off. I read another interesting quote recently from Dr. Jason Blakely. He said, "Only humans with their infinitely excessive desire undergo such vast sufferings under the illusion that it will somehow quench a fire burning in their hearts. Only humans will cry tears when they are confronted with one simple fact: no finite thing is enough. Who on earth doesn't go around trying to maddeningly slake an infinite thirst? And who doesn't weep when the self-destructive tendencies of our efforts don't work out?" We've told you that Advent begins in the dark. And in that darkness, there is searching and there is longing. And even now, weeks into the Christian New Year, looking forward to the celebration of Christmas in the beginning of 2025, even with the hope and expectation of Christ's light coming into our lives, it's true that we still feel and experience darkness, the desire groaning within us, or at least I do. I told you that I've written this homily in a funk. And I won't ask for a show of hands this morning, but I know that everyone in this room has experienced the same. The heaviness, the weariness, even in the midst of the seasons of joy and celebration. I've talked to several people over the past few weeks, and it seems to be a shared experience right now. Many of us are in this odd type of malaise. And I'm not here this morning to tell myself or you to snap out of it. In a recent Red Hands Files letter, it's a newsletter I subscribe to, The artist Nick Cave wrote this: "Feelings are meant to be felt. That's what they're there for. We heal by acknowledging our emotions, and we test our heart's resilience by lingering within the unbearable." You see, we lose the opportunity if we leave early from a feeling before it has run its course and done its reparative work in us. It is painful to feel those amazing times are behind you, but they're not. There are many more to come. There will be further heartbreaks too, but hearts break stronger. We must not retreat from our feelings. We must confront them, rehearse them, get better at them. For some reason, we tend to think of Advent differently than the season of Lent. But they're both times of preparation and expectation, times of remembrance. They're little plays that we can repeat to practice this greater preparation and expectation that takes place across our entire lives. Yes, we're about to celebrate Christmas, to remember the God who desires to be near us, with us, and has come to us. Jesus' life and ministry was an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. It has changed everything about who we are and what we do. But we're still waiting. We're still expectant. Our Advent has been transformed by Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, but it hasn't been removed. We must still bear this life, still do the work of faithful living, still experience the funk. I began this year with what I genuinely believe was a word from the Lord. During a time of prayer and vulnerability, I heard a question that pierced me to the deepest part. Do you trust me? And my answer in that moment was, I do. I want to. I'm not sure. Probably not. And we work with what we've got. So I've spent this entire year learning to live, and you've heard this, in the posture of open hands. I talk about it a lot because I believe in this posture. I cannot think of a posture that's more attuned to learning how to trust God. And why I share this today is because I'm also beginning to see that this posture is also equipping us to receive. The heading for our reading from Hebrews this morning, it's titled Christ's Sacrifice Once for All. And what I hope to leave you with today as we finish our Advent season and enter into the season of Emmanuel, God with us, is a deep sense, a knowledge, and an experience of receiving from God the good gifts that he has for you. When Christ came into this world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure, God." And then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." This is key. "And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We are benefactors of Jesus' sacrifice, of his faithfulness, of his work. And the only thing we need to do in order to be equipped to do the will of God is to receive. We've been given innumerable gifts. We have our lives. We have this church. We have each other. And all those things have been given to us so that we can learn together and work together to do the will of God, to love the world as he loves it. We say it every week as we take up an offering, giving financial gifts to enable the ministry of this church, that Jesus is teaching us it's better to be a people who learn how to give and not just receive. Because it's a good thing when we have healthy bodies and healthy bank accounts. Because those things enable us to be more free and more capable to love and serve those that we know are not as fortunate. Scripture is clear that we exist for the sake of each other. And Jesus continuously modeled this for us. All of life is an open-handed receiving and then giving and then repeating. We can't neglect any part of this. I think it's fortunate that our passage from Hebrews is connected with Mary's Magnificat. In her song of praise and thanksgiving, we can see and learn how her yes, her receiving, can help us model our own. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." How extraordinarily fortunate are we to have the opportunity to not just read these words, but say them and experience them in our own lives, not only in this season of Advent, but across the entirety of our existence. When we take time to prepare our hearts and minds to say yes, when we posture our physical bodies in openness, we can trust that God sees us, that he will restore us and save us, sanctify us and set us apart for the good of others. And God does not expect us to manufacture good, to seek out and create our own blessings in this life, or to strive for and work for what is already ours in Christ. God is a giver of good gifts. God is the provider, and so he expects us to receive. Do you trust him? Do you believe that if you hold out open hands and an open heart, that he will fill them? And it's okay if your answer this morning is no. My answer not even a year ago was very much the same. But I don't want that to be your final answer. I don't want you to lose hope that God can and will work good in your life. We can get stuck in our ruts, in our funks, but that's a terrible place to be permanently. So yes, I still agree with Nick Cave. We need to acknowledge and experience these times and feelings in our lives as a reality of what is going on in the moment, but we cannot allow them to be our destination. When we choose to run away from hope, from healing, we're running away from God and life itself. I want you to know that we actually have an opportunity to practice receiving today. In just a few moments, we're going to come to the table. And in that space, we open our hands in faith and thanksgiving and we receive. And that's why we invite everyone to the table. Because even though we do recognize that God gives different gifts to different people, he still gives. To those of us who are baptized, who have put on Christ, we receive the bread and wine as promise and provision to strengthen us and sustain us for the life of ministry that God has called us to in his Son. And if you're not baptized, even if you don't believe in God at all, you're still welcome at God's table to come forward, receive a prayer and blessing. Because God wants everyone to receive when they come into his house. And when we say yes to this invitation, when we come and meet with him and receive his love, his blessing, it enables us to go back out into our lives and begin to see him present and beckoning and still giving in all kinds of ways. We become more attuned to him the more we receive from him. His goodness fills us and it expands us. And from his goodness, we're able to love more deeply, to serve more readily. The gifts we've been given, they become something new to us as they go out and are gifts to others. So as we think about the beginning of a new year, whether you pinpoint that at Advent or you're waiting until January 1, I think it's true of many or all of us that we need and we want that fresh start. And what I'm praying is that you realize that in the life of God, we have the opportunity to get that, to begin again and again and again. And to do that, all we have to do is lay aside our expectations and our demands of God. We lay aside our fears and our failures, and we tear down anything and everything that prevents us from simply going to him as a child, receiving whatever good he has for us, expectant with hope and trust, living every day as a new day the Lord has made, rejoicing and being glad in this present moment. The Advent light is shining as bright as it can in this season. And in just a few days, we're going to celebrate the light of Christ, remembering that it has already come. The fulfillment of our hopes and our desires, it's already available to us. So will you, in this time of light, in this place of light, turn your gaze away from the world, away from self, and towards Jesus? Will you seek to receive from him of his limitless resources, all that you actually need and want? Will you trust that God loves you and wants good for you? Will you take the posture of humility and openness, a posture of seeking and receiving from God, and will you say to him, God, do it again. Build up in us the daisies of faith, hope, and love. God, do it again. Restore to us our love and our trust. God, do it again. Come to us and be present in this moment. Fill us. Jesus, do it again. Amen.
I invite you to stand, and together let us respond to the